Welcome to another episode of the High School Football Jamboree. At this time, we would like to take a break from the normal course of events in honor of those who lost their lives on this date 23 years ago. The sight of planes crashing into buildings, the plane into a Pentagon, and the plane that went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. They are scenes that will be forever etched into our national memory. At this time, please, along with me, take a moment of silence to remember and honor those who tragically lost their lives on this day. Thank you. This is Season 3, Episode 5. This is the High School Football Jamboree. All right, we are here at Uncle Wayne's Steak and Barbecue here in Waycross, Georgia on Augusta Avenue. And although they are our presenting sponsor, we have another sponsor here, Mike Murch. He is the owner of Glassworks Auto Care. Did I get that right?
That's right.
Okay. One of the best detailing companies around. He's mobile. He's got his own van. And does a lot of great things for the community as well. An avid supporter of Ware County Gator football. Mm-hmm. I think he graduated from Ware County as well.
That's right.
So, start off, man, just short and simple. Tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of like, you know, high school, you go to college, any of that stuff. Anything you'd like to share with our listeners?
Okay. So, of course, my name is Michael Murchison. That's my full name. And friends, a lot of people, they know me as Mike Mert. That for short, so they won't have to say all the syllables in my name. But, yeah, I'm from right here in Waycross, Georgia. I went to school, graduated in 2008 at Ware County High School. A proud alumni, go Gators.
Yes, sir.
Love them to death, you know. And also, yeah, I'm married. Been married since 2014, so this year make 10 years. I am a minister at my local ministry.
Good.
And I also, of course, as you already stated, I own my own business, Glassworks Auto Care. I am a detailer. He says I'm one of the best. I appreciate that.
You are.
And I also, I'm like very talented musically, so I have my own recording studio as well. So I produce music, and I got some things that's going along with that as well that I don't really mention too much. I'm going to just let that all unfold. But it's a lot more to me that I could say, but yeah, we'll be here all day. But that's just like the basics of who Michael Murchison is.
Well, I've learned a couple of new things about you I didn't know, so that's always good.
Yeah.
So tell us about Glassworks Auto Care. Mm-hmm. And those are detailing company, but what services do you offer and how can people make an appointment with you?
Okay. So Glassworks Auto Care, of course, is a detailing company. It's mobile, and so I have my own van with everything set up with the chemicals, the water, the generator, the pressure washer, everything that I need to get the job done. And so, of course, I do more than just actually wash the cars and clean the inside, but I can also buff, I can polish. I am a professional ceramic coating expert, so if anybody wants ceramic coating installed on their vehicle, you can get that as well. Yeah, it costs. However, it is worth it, so I would encourage you all to do that, especially if you have a new vehicle, but I do that as well. It's a lot of my services: waxing, applying sealants, removing scratches, restoring headlights. I'd probably forgot some stuff, but that's a good bit of it. If you want to know more, you can ask me. And if you would like for me to, you know, provide services for you, you can just call me at 912-670-2239. That's my business number. And then you just tell me what you need, put you on the schedule, set a day and a time, and I'll be there. Or you can reach out to me on Facebook. My name is Mike Mert. You can reach out to me through there, and we can set it up that way. But I get you on the schedule, and I show up.
All right. We can't get details yet because nothing is set in stone yet. But we have this one friend. If we can get him on board with what we're doing, and I'm sure he's already expressed interest.
Yeah.
The two of y'all would make, man, we'd blow it out of the park, man. So we're going to work on that.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me more. I'm going to add a question here that I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about your musical abilities in your studio. What goes into that?
Okay, so I've been doing music for a long time, since high school. It's like I started in 2004. That's when I started writing lyrics. But over the course of time, we can fast forward to the day. I have my own studio where I've spent, ain't no telling how much money. It's in the thousands. I have the monitors, which are basically speakers, microphone, everything to record the music with. I got multiple programs that I use, multiple virtual instruments where I create music with. And, I mean, it's a very detailed process. I can talk about that all day, too. But what goes into it is, like, as far as what I do, I have one artist that I manage. I also produce his music. And I also have a friend who actually produces as well. So we collaborate when that is concerned. And I also have a videographer who documents everything. So we got a lot of stuff that's like, brewing up. Like I said, I just ain't been saying too much about it because some things are on standstill right now. But, I mean, it's really a great process. I actually love doing it. And that's really my true passion. Like, I can detail cars, and right. I do well with that, but my true passion is music. And so, but, yeah, it's a lot that goes into it, and it's many years of experience on my end, at least 15-plus years of experience on my end, just doing it, grinding, working hard, and just believing and trusting that everything is going to come together as it should. And I really do believe that I'm very close, like myself and the team that I have and what we're able to do. I believe we're very close. And the ultimate goal is to use it to really, along with Glassworks too, the ultimate goal is to use it to improve the community, because there's so many things that's going on, and there's so many that want to do music, they just don't have the resources necessary to do it the right way. So I feel like a part of my purpose is to get that established so that they'll know how to do it the right way, and it'll open up doors for them. And like I say, ultimately improve the community as a whole.
Yeah, you're very passionate about the community, and that's one reason I really wanted to bring you on as a sponsor to both of us to kind of build our credibility a little bit. So mm-hmm. I really appreciate you coming on board for that reason.
Yes, sir.
I
appreciate you.
And we have a generation coming up now who might need a little guidance, a little advice, who may be interested in starting their own business.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give somebody of that nature who may not be aware of the steps that it takes to start your business?
Mm-hmm.
So if you could talk to that end as well.
Well, I say that the steps in starting your own business, the advice that I give is improve yourself first. Like any weaknesses that you may have that you're able to identify, be honest with yourself, understand what your weaknesses are and improve on those weaknesses. But also be able to identify your strengths too and use that to benefit your company. And at this stage where I'm at now, it's so much that I've learned that's helping me with my business and everything else moving forward. And so if I was to tell this generation anything right now, at this point, it's so much to say. But at this point, I would say have a growth mindset, have a mindset to grow. And I say that from the mistakes that I've made. Like, I would start things, and I had this grand idea of what I wanted to be. But if it doesn't end up becoming that within a certain time frame, I end up getting discouraged, and it slows everything down. So to help with that, I would say just have a growth mindset. As long as it's growing, that's a good thing. Now, if it start growing, now you're in trouble. But as long as it's growing, if it's only one customer a week, one customer a month, it's still growth. And just understand that it takes time with that process. So just to be patient with the process of it, but also enjoy it, because as it's growing, those are the times where you'll really learn and understand what you need to do for your business to flourish and prosper. And then you'll understand who your audience is, your customer base, and everything. So that would be the main thing I would say. Now, it's so much that can be said, but I say really just improve upon yourself and just have a mindset to grow.
Gotcha. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to be here. I know we've had some scheduling conflicts because, I was dealing with some migraines, and I know they rescheduled football games, so everybody was going in one way or the other, and I think this is the first opportunity in a couple of weeks that we've all been able to get together and talk. So, and I see you at a lot of the football games. I know you're a big football fan.
Oh, yeah.
And you like the rest of us. You also like the Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, there's really no conference like the SEC.
Nah.
No, and this is the best it's ever been.
Nah, SEC different.
Yeah. I know a few teams have struggled. I never thought that Vandy would have beat Virginia Tech, but
yeah,
they did that in overtime.
Yeah.
But Georgia's doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, anyways, they're struggling.
Yeah.
So.
But I don't feel bad for them.
No, most of us don't. But it's the SEC, so
yeah.
What can you say?
Yeah.
Of course, the million-dollar question now is, how is Alabama going to fare without Saban?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's gonna be an interesting thing. And I didn't see Texas A&M losing to Notre Dame either. So.
Yeah.
So a lot of interesting games happened already. So I look forward to seeing how the rest of the season.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm also looking forward, just to say this real quick, I'm also looking forward to seeing what Boston College is doing with Thomas Castellanos.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's doing a very good job up there. And I just seen what he's like. I believe he's number 3 in QBR, so he's doing great. And I've been saying, hey, that boy has NFL-level talent and potential. Do not take your eyes off him. And it looks like he's on that trajectory. So I really love what I'm seeing with him, because Boston College is also ranked, too, and that's the first time they've been ranked in a long time as well. So that's good.
Well, I don't want to spoil the SEC corner, which we're going to do tomorrow, incidentally.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got Boston College beating Missouri this week.
Same here.
Yeah, so that's we do a breakdown every week on the SEC corner.
Yeah.
I'm getting paid for this part of the program, by the way. I'm kidding. But there's 16 teams in the SEC now. Mm-hmm. I think that's too many, but that's just me. But there's 4 of us that do picks, but only in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And that Boston College was one of my picks. And I always hate to see the SEC lose, but I think Thomas is going to give them everything that they can handle.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, like I say, thank you for being here, and I appreciate everything. And you're a good friend, a good person for the community, and we appreciate everything you do.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right. Hey, everyone. This is Philip Jazz Dixon, the producer of the High School Football Jamboree podcast, presented by Uncle Wayne's Steak and Barbecue. I just wanted to come on here and talk about an issue that is very near and dear to my heart. September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. A lot of us know at least one person who has suffered with depression and anxiety and other like issues. I want to just encourage everybody that struggles with this that you don't struggle alone. And suicide is never the way out. Back in 2009, I personally thought it was the way out. You know, 15 years later, I've never been so glad that I failed. You know, and a lot of people look at the stigma surrounding it, and I just want to tell you that there's no shame in asking for help. And really the only shame is when you need the help and you don't ask for it. And I also want to encourage the people who don't suffer with this to show kindness and compassion, because you never know what somebody's going through. And be the reason that somebody smiles. Be the reason that somebody knows that you care. Be the reason somebody wants to live. So there is a 1-800 number to call and talk to someone. It's a crisis line that we can post on our Facebook page. And you can call and you can get the help that you need. And so I just want to encourage you to use that research and any local resources that you have to your disposal, because nobody struggles alone. Nobody fights this alone, nor should they have to. So as I sign off with this segment, I want to say thank you to Uncle Wayne's Steak and Barbecue for being our presenting sponsor. I want to thank all of our sponsors for everything that they do for us. And I would also like to say God bless our troops. And God bless the United States of America, the country that we all love. Hey, everyone. This is Philip Chaz Dixon. I am the producer here at the High School Football Jamboree. I'm filling in for Rick on this episode. Wishing him well and what he's got going on right now. But we are here at Uncle Wayne's Steak and Barbecue to interview Seth Starlin, Ware County alumni. So we're going to ask him a few questions and get his input on a few things. So, Seth, what years did you play football at Ware County High School?
So I played in 2008 through 2012.
I guess it's some good years, man.
No doubt, man.
Really good years. Do you have any coaches and or teachers that you would like to acknowledge on the show?
Oh, yeah. I guess when it comes to coaches or people that have played a vital role in kind of getting me to where I am today, some of the guys that come to mind are some people that I know that I would always try to, you know, make proud, or, you know, they meant a lot to me. I always try to make my dad proud. And the next person was Coach Campbell. That
yes.
guy, it's funny, during high school, he was, you know, the most ruthless, just was on my case at all times. And I honestly just hated him through my football career. But looking back, I mean, the guy that, if you ask me, like, who played the biggest role in kind of getting me where I am, it's going to be Coach Campbell. You know, I look up to that guy a lot, and he taught me a lot of valuable lessons that I didn't realize at the time. But now, like I say, he was crucial. So
we only let one person. That's going to be hard on us.
That's it, man. It was just tough love. Like I say, I think he truly wanted the best for me, and so he was going to push me to my limits. And like I say, a lot of times it made me very frustrated and very mad. But at the end of the day, he was just trying to make me better. And same thing with Coach Dudley. I mean, Coach Dudley was awesome, and he was somebody that, you know, I looked up to then, still look up to this day. He's had a successful career, and that's another one of those guys that, you know, I just wanted to try to do everything I could to make him proud. And so that's another guy I want to give a shout out to.
All right. So other than football, what sports did you play during your high school career, and did you participate in any other activities?
So I played basketball for 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year. And my main sport, pretty much since I was a little kid, was soccer. Soccer was my main sport.
I got you. And it's been said that every good kicker comes from the soccer team. How do you feel that soccer made you as a better football player and overall athlete?
I mean, soccer essentially was the reason that I tried out for football. You know, I remember in eighth grade, I was the guy that taking free kicks or, you know, taking the PKs. And so it's like, hey, look, we're looking for a kicker. We come out here and just give it a shot. So walk out there, and it was just natural. I mean, it wasn't anything that I studied before or practiced before. I just was doing what I do. And so soccer definitely played a huge role in, you know, me playing football. And then just, you know, anything about soccer, just the amount of fitness you have to have, the agility, the footwork, everything kind of just comes together as far as, you know, helping you out in any kind of sport. So,
well, when you think about the connection between soccer and football, the one person that comes to mind is Adam Griffith.
Oh, yeah.
Who went to Calhoun.
Yep.
And he's the reason that they finally got over that hump against Buford.
Yep. Went on to Alabama to kick, too.
And he's the one who kicked that field goal, remember, and then Auburn ran it back in the Iron Bowl.
Yep.
And but he actually was adopted from his native home in Portugal.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah, and he actually came over. He was adopted by a family in America here, I guess in Calhoun, obviously.
Right.
And they said the first time that he ever kicked a football was the first time he even seen what a football looked like.
Really? Yeah, that's cool. That's interesting.
And he kicked it well enough to impress Coach Hal Lim, who was the head coach at Calhoun at the time.
Nice.
And the rest is history.
Cool.
And went on to play at the University of Alabama over in Tuscaloosa.
Yep. Legendary kicker for sure.
Yes. And so that was an ADD rabbit trail, but here we are. How important is it that athletes play more than one sport in high school?
You know, this is a topic that can it goes both ways, and I know everybody's got their opinion on this. Me personally, I think that it's crucial for kids to play multiple sports.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the kids that play basketball or play football or play baseball or soccer year-round, a lot of times when they get to their high school career, they're worn out. I mean, they're just totally – they're playing every weekend, and it becomes just not as enjoyable as it used to be. And so that's the thing with, you know, me playing basketball and me playing soccer was it's a different environment in every single locker room. And so you kind of get to experience all of them. But also when football season ended, I was so excited to go play basketball. Same thing with basketball ends. I was excited to go play soccer. So, I mean, and you just get those different aspects of different locker rooms and, you know, you got different friends that play sport. And so I think it kind of – they all feed into each other. And instead of just kind of wearing yourself out playing that one sport.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to expand on that question. I hadn't planned on it, but I'm going to expand on that last question. For a football player who's looking for – a second or third sport in the off season, why is soccer a good choice?
Just fitness, the amount of fitness. I mean, a lot of guys that I played with in high school, you know, they didn't know anything about soccer, didn't know the rules or didn't know. It's just like a lot of guys, they would wrestle. You know, same thing. It's just they would wrestle just for the fitness. You know, I'd walk by the wrestling room and the windows are fogged out because they've been running laps for 2 hours. You know, same thing with soccer. You know, the footwork's there, the amount of fitness, and like I said, that's just two things that are going to translate to the football field and help you out ultimately.
I agree. In your career, your high school football career, you scored 26 field goals and 118 PATs. What kind of pressure comes in those moments when the score is directly impacted by the strength and accuracy of your foot?
You know, at times it was a lot of pressure, but I think, you know, going back to Coach Dudley and Coach Campbell, my senior year, we had a different kind of morale as far as our team was concerned. And I remember, you know, if you looked at us on a sheet of paper, you didn't think we were going to make it to the state championship.
Right.
But we were just dogs. I mean, we were guys that were in the weight room. We weren't missing reps. We weren't just trying to, you know, get through the workout. We were doing everything we could to make sure that we could go from if it was kicking a field goal, running a ball, whatever the case was, we weren't skipping those reps in order for us to handle that pressure, I guess. So, you know, it goes back to trusting those guys. You know, you trust in Jamar holding the ball for me. You're trusting the snap. You're trusting Laban Falk holding the ball. And so it translates to the weight room. Like I say, you're holding everybody accountable, and then it translates to the field that, you know, ultimately helps out with the pressure.
Yep. For only the fifth time in school history, Ware County played in the state semifinal round in 2012. Describe the environment and electricity of that night, especially given the rematch against Northside Warner Robins.
Man, it was unreal. I mean, I can still picture us standing on the sideline looking across the field at those guys. You know, just like I said, that was the ultimate rematch. And what a crazy game. You know, I think, if I remember correctly, you know, we were kind of going back and forth the entire game, and then – or actually, I say we're going back and forth. They come back, and their kicker comes in. I think he kicks like a 42-yard field goal or something along those lines. But yeah, he had a torn ACL, or he was hurt. He hadn't kicked the entire game. So this guy runs on the field because I'd known that he was originally the starting kicker. He runs on the field, and I'm like, this guy's hurt. He comes out there and clutches up and kicks a 40-something-yard field goal to send us in the overtime. So, you know, that was a night I'll never forget. I mean, it was a ton of fun. Just the stadium was electric, and it was awesome.
And I remember that onside kick that night. It was the thing of beauty.
Yeah.
And but leading up to that, I remember getting on the phone on that Sunday morning before the game, and, you know, calling Antonio, calling Derek, calling everybody. Hey, we won the coin toss. It's going to be in Waycross.
Yeah.
And then that Friday night on the radio, I don't know if you guys ever wonder what they're saying on the radio during the game. But,
right.
But I remember one person on the radio said that the football gods were looking out for us because we won two coin tosses in 5 years.
Yep.
So that was memorable. All the because I'm listening to the radio while y'all are playing the football
right.
game.
Right.
I don't want to miss anything.
Oh, yeah.
So – it was a fun time for us, too.
No, that was huge. That was a big deal for sure.
Based on that semifinal game, what advice would you give to the current student-athletes about playing under big-time pressure?
You know, with pressure, you know, pressure makes diamonds.
Yeah.
And kind of like I was speaking earlier, it goes back to – it doesn't just start on the field. I mean, it starts in the weight room. It starts in the classroom where you're not missing reps. And when somebody's not watching, you're supposed to be doing the right things. And so – you know, not skipping those reps, doing what you're supposed to, doing what you're supposed to in the classroom, that all translates to on the field. And so when you get put in those pressure moments, you're ready for them. And they're not, you know, they don't get you out of whack. It's routine by then.
I got you. Okay, tell our listeners about your college years and the opportunities that your education afforded you.
So I left the high school and went to Georgia Southern.
I remember I visited you there once.
Yep. So Georgia Southern was awesome. It was a great ride. And I think, you know, what I learned the most in college was, and this is not a knock on education by no means, but I think it was my sophomore year, I got a job with, it's called PMG Rentals. And it was a rental company that a lot of the college kids rented houses through. And so I got to meet a bunch of college kids, and I got to see all the houses. I got to meet a bunch of the guys that owned the houses, you know, the whole nine yards. And I think what, you know, looking back in college, what was the most beneficial was networking. I mean, the amount of people that I met, the amount of people that, you know, that I still have relationships with today. And so, you know, I think if I can give any kind of advice to somebody like that, it is get out, meet people, listen to opportunities that got, you know, take anybody's advice, anybody and everybody's advice. So that's kind of my takeaway from, you know, what I think stood out the most to me was when people say that your net worth or your network is your net worth, and that is, you know, I think that is 100% true.
Absolutely. For the current student athletes at Ware County, this is a question we're asking everybody this season. What does it mean to be a Gator?
It means a lot. I think, you know, that 2011 and 2012 season, it was almost like we were celebrities in town in our own way. You know, everywhere you went, you got to eat Jerry J's or wherever. Somebody was telling you, you know, good luck or good job or man, I saw you out there. And so it was, you know, we were prideful. We had a bunch of pride in being a Gator. And so if I had any kind of advice to the guys now, like I said, it's take pride in what you're doing and who you are and who you represent.
All right, and this is a question for the community. What does it mean to the players to have a large crowd on a Friday night?
I mean, that makes a difference. You know, you look at games where there's not a lot of people in the stands. Or you look at games when we were packed out, like Pierce County game or Northside Warner Robins game, it brings a whole different environment, and we feed off of that, or we used to feed off of that. You know, it means the world to have the Gator walks, to have little stuff like that. I mean, it makes us feel important. And so, you can't put it into words, you know, packing the stadium, being loud, you know, it means the world to the players for sure.
Right. And this last question, you already hit on it, but I want to give you another chance in case you'd like to say anything else about it. What encouragement and wisdom would you give to any high school athlete regarding their future career and educational goals?
Yeah, you know, like I said, I already hit on it once, but just networking. I mean, that is huge. I give a lot of what I've done now to just networking, people that I know, and that, you know, people really do want to help you. You know, when somebody, you know, recommends this or they could potentially give you an opportunity, people really do want to help. And then another thing, I know that my dad used to say to me every morning, I mean, this is since I was a little kid, he'd never missed it, ever. Before he left, he'd say, be a leader. And so, you know, I think a lot of times nowadays there's a bunch of distractions in the world, and it's very easy to become just kind of a follower, I guess, you know, kind of just fall into the crowd. You don't want to be different. You don't want to, you know, do what's right sometimes. And so if I had any advice, it's a lot cooler to be a leader and do what's right than it is to, you know, to fall in the crowd and, you know, do something you shouldn't supposed to.
And that happens a lot,
yep.
Sadly.
It does. So, like I said, I think that's a key piece of information to, you know, stand up for what's right, do what's right, and be a leader.
And, you know, I'm very proud of your accomplishments. I remember visiting you in Statesboro at Georgia Southern. We ate at Shane's Ribs Shack, I think.
Yep.
What you didn't know at the time, I don't think that I was actually in Hilton Head, South Carolina, and I had to come home, but instead I wanted to stop by and see you. So,
nice.
So I had to drive from Hilton Head to Statesboro, then from Statesboro to Waycross.
No, I appreciate that. That was a good time.
That was I was wore out, but it was worth
it.
I enjoyed the dinner, man, that day, and I'm so proud of your accomplishments and what you've done, and You're one of those who have set the gold standard on career choices, and you've done very well for yourself. You got a set of parents who have done very well for you your whole life, so they've definitely raised a good young man. And I appreciate you being my friend and doing so much for the community, man, and we really appreciate you here at the Gymboree.
No doubt, man, and I appreciate you guys for having me on, and what you guys do is great, and thank you again.
All right, man. Thanks, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
So we're back here at Uncle Wayne's Steak and Barbecue, live as always. For my showcase this week, I'm going to give the rundown by region and classification for offense, defense, and scoring spread. The number one team for offense in the GHSA is Region 1 6A. They're averaging 40.89 points per game. For defense, it would be Region 5 6A. They are averaging 13.97 points per game. And the scoring spread would also be Region 1 6A. They're on average 22.68. And that, of course, is just simply offense minus defense. By classification, 5A is the number one region, or number one classification for offense. Their average is, as a whole classification, is 26.61. For points allowed, it is Class A D1. They, on average, allow 20.81. And for the overall scoring spread, also at number one is Class A D1. With an average of 4.01. And all classifications are positive except AAA at negative 1.64 and 2A, which is negative 5.49. I want to thank everybody for their patience this week, or last couple of weeks. Thank you for everybody for their prayers during my fight with the migraines. And we'll be back actually tomorrow to record episode 6 and be back on schedule. Thank you to Uncle Wayne's Barbecue. Thank you to Glassworks Auto Care. I'd like to thank Mike Mertz for his time and his interview. And I'd like to thank Seth Starlin for his time today to be with us on the podcast and to do his interview today as well. This is Philip Chaz Dixon signing off, and have a great night, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
On behalf of our producer, Philip Chaz Dixon, our statistician, James Taylor, and my colleague, Cody Taylor, thank you for joining our show for this week. We look forward to being with you again next week. Don't forget the keyword that we gave earlier in the show. By using it from the opening of business tomorrow until 2 p.m. next Wednesday, you will save 10% off your next purchase or service at any of our sponsors. Thanks to Uncle Wayne's Steak and Barbecue for hosting us as our presenting sponsor. Thanks to J.D. Power Wash LLC for being a second-year sponsor for the Jamboree. Thanks to Glassworks Auto Care for another sponsorship for this platform. Thanks to Brian Glock from 105.1 FM, a Higgs multimedia radio station, for the radio publicity. Brian is the voice of the Ware County Gators. Thanks to Scott Rifun and Garrison for the radio publicity at 102.5 FM and iHeart Radio Station. They are the voices of Glenn Academy and Red Terror Football. Thanks to the invaluable support from the Waycross and Ware County Happiness page on Facebook. Mr. Whipple loves this community dearly. Don't forget to check out our recommended reading for Season 3, written by our good friend, Mr. John Nelson of GPB Sports. Peach Steak Pigskin History covers all the great moments of high school football in this great state, even dating back prior to World War I. You may purchase this book on Amazon and your choice of paperback or hardcover. Don't forget to catch Chester Proctor with his Friday Night Lights show on your local radio station via GNN. The show is recorded live in the Sweet Onion Capital of Georgia. As we sign off, don't forget to shop and buy local and to always thank veterans for their service.